Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
This is our month of preparation. The Lord dropped it in my spirit to share with us along the lines of preparation and preparation for the end of the age. Most of us are having such a good time on earth, and we are not planning to return home to Zion for the millennial reign with Jesus before we return back to the recreated earth under the absolute government of God. Some of us, we have come to a point where we wish this was heaven. But I want to tell you, God has a greater plan for His children, and for that He's asked us to prepare, because He is coming again. Hallelujah. How many of you are getting ready for the return of Jesus Christ? All right, everybody is getting ready. Tonight I want to show you a few things from scriptures as we prepare our hearts, and it's going to be a very lengthy teaching for the whole month, but for this evening I just want to show us the cardinal areas that Jesus has mandated us His children to begin to focus on as we have come to the end of the age. So from Tuesday I'm going to begin teaching thoroughly on the subject of eschatology. But for tonight, I just want to show you a few things and admonitions that the Lord Jesus has given to us as a church. I can't do that thorough teaching today, but I'm going to touch the few areas of preparation, and then we'll begin to pray and plan our lives in a way that whenever the trumpet blasts, you'll be ready to be caught up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to begin from there, and then I'll go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 30, and then I'll come back to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 17. There's so much I'll speak about the last days, but not for tonight, so that I don't deviate so much. The Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, hath in what? These last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. Upholding all things by the word of His power. So we are in the last days, and the only thing that can keep, uphold, and strengthen you is the word of what? His power. So Jesus, according to scriptures, began to speak to us in the last days. So the last days were actually announced by Jesus. And if you study Matthew 24, you are going to see that the whole teaching in that passage of scripture was about the last days. So Jesus was the one who proclaimed and announced the last days. And that's why this scripture revealed to us that from the days of His speaking, we were being ushered into the last days. But the last days actually began from the day of Pentecost. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, you capture that emphasis from scripture. Can we go there quickly? Joel 2, 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. We are reading up to verse 31, 32. And also upon servants and upon handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and the remnant who the Lord shall call. Now jump to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 17. Peter was reiterating this experience. And this is the experience of the outpouring on the day of Pentecost. And he said, okay, maybe go to verse 15. So you see where he quoted Joel. For these are not drunken men, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So Peter was corroborating what Joel said, that when you see the sign of the outpouring, know that you are in the last days. So the outpouring initiated the last days. And it's important for you to understand that these last days require a different way of living. You don't have the luxury to live as at other times. But unfortunately, many will not realize this until the very last day. Because there are two things involved. There is the last days, where the events that will close this age will all happen. And then there is the day of the Lord, which is actually the day Jesus returns to carry his church and to bring judgment upon the face of the earth. If you don't get ready and live as you ought to, you will discover, like it was in the days of Noah, if it happens in your time, you may be taken unawares. People can be getting married. People can be rejoicing. People can be celebrating when Jesus shows up and they are not ready. So scriptures admonish that we be ready and prepared. Now, I'm going to deal with some of the assumptions that are currently ongoing. I know most of you have heard, you know, preachers of the gospel teaching and declaring that the world will end this year. How many of you have heard that? And some estimated that from now till 2028, the world is going to come to an end, either before or in that year. Well, there are a few speculations around this subject, and we are going to deal with those speculations as we begin to deal with eschatology proper. Because the reason some of these assumptions are coming up are because of a few scriptures that have been interpreted to support it. For instance, Peter speaking, and he said, a day before the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day before the Lord. So theologians and rabbis have concluded that the age of the earth, because the earth was created in 7 days, they have assumed that the age of the earth is 7 days. And because a day is 1,000 years, it means the age of the earth will be 1,000 years. Are you following? I'll give you all of that scriptures. I don't want to get distracted tonight into going to, you know, deal with details. But they believe that the age of the earth is 7 days, and 7 days is 7,000 years. And so on the strength of that, they began to calculate from the time of Adam. Between Adam and Abraham is 2,000 years. Between Abraham and the death of Jesus was 2,000 years. And until Jesus left the earth, around 30 AD, 33 AD, based on the crucifixion of Jesus, up till now, is about 2,000 years. So they believe between Adam and our day is 6,000 years. And then the other 1,000 years is for the millennial reign, which will begin after the coming of Jesus Christ. So if you add that 1,000 years to the 6,000 years, which is the age of the earth currently, it means we have come to the brink of the end of time. On the strength of that, they are beginning to sound an alarm that we should get ready. Because if you count from 30 AD up to year 2025, you have reached 6,000 years. And if you count from age 33 AD into 2028, that's 6,000 years. That's why they are propagating that the world will either end this year or end in 2028. Now, that's not supposed to be my focus. Because Jesus said, the exact day that is coming, he said, no man knows. So our focus is not necessarily to predict the day of his coming. But Jesus' admonition is that we are prepared. So I'm not going to teach you and bring prediction as to whether Jesus is coming today, this year, or in 2028. But I'm going to teach you what Jesus says to be taught. That you'll be prepared. Because the truth is that while we are yet speaking, the trumpet can sound. The truth is that the world can end this year. The truth is that the world can end in 2028. Because if you probe what these guys are teaching, you are going to discover that there is a high level precision. So while we are not going to focus on which day Jesus is coming, it's important for us to live with readiness. Because this was how Noah cried. And they took him for granted until the flood came. So when you hear things like that, don't go into debating and say we don't know the day. We are in the last day. So you should be ready as if today is the day. If you are not ready and you are arguing with them that Jesus said nobody knows the day. Yes, nobody knows the day. But we are in the last days. And if you are not prepared, you'll be taken unawares. So it's important for you to be prepared. Glory to God. Are you following? Number two, why are they having these predictions? They are having these predictions because they have also taken time using the seven feasts of Israel to predict the end of the age. And I will show you scriptures. I'm trying not to distract myself. That's why I'm not consulting anything. If you study the seven feasts of Israel, you will discover that four have been fulfilled with great precision. Great, great precision. Jesus has fulfilled four of them already. And the three that are yet to be fulfilled, scriptures call them the summer feasts. The winter feast has been fulfilled. The summer feast is what's left, which is the feast of trumpets, which is the feast of tabernacles, and which is the feast of trumpets represents rapture. According to theologians, the feast of tabernacles represents the millennial reign. That's when they gather together. You know, okay, let me give you the seven feasts. That's when they gather together in the temple and they read the Torah and they have a feast of the word of God. They share the word, they talk the word with themselves. They believe that that's going to represent the millennial reign. Alright? And then the feast of atonement. They believe that's going to represent the judgment. Because these three have not yet been fulfilled. Out of the seven Jewish feasts. And so if you study the first four that Jesus fulfilled, you are going to discover that he fulfilled it with precision. And so the question they're asking is, if he has fulfilled those feasts and fulfilled them with precision, What makes you feel he will not fulfill this one? Now, the Feast of Trumpets is what they call the Yom Kippur. That's what happens at the Atonement season. And the Atonement season is around the month of September. So every time you approach September and you start hearing the world is about to end, the world is about to end, that's the reason. Because every time you approach that season of Yom Kippur, where they do their atonement, they do all of the blood sacrifice, they believe that you are coming to the end of the age, because that's when the summer feast begins. From atonement to tabernacles to all of the three remaining feasts. And so, where we are now, given the predictions of the 7 days or 7,000 age of the earth, and then the precision of the seven feet, many believe that any September from now, the world can end. But like I said, my focus is not the day the world will end. My focus is the fact that you are in the last days, and you need to be prepared. So two things I want to do in this service is, number one, show you the 13 events that will happen at the end of time, and then show you the preparations that Jesus commanded us as a church to be prepared when we approach the end of the age. So right now, we are going to do a teaching on these things. But write them down so you get used to them. Number one is the increase in lawlessness, apostasy, and global deception. Matthew 24, verse 4 to verse 12. Increase in lawlessness, apostasy, and deception. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. We are reading to verse 12. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Are you seeing that this thing, many people will be deceived? That's why the Bible speaks of the great falling away. Most people will fall. That's why it said, he that is standing should be careful. Are you seeing most of the doctrines coming today? As though, live anyhow you want, it doesn't matter. It's part of the deception. Him that standeth should take heed lest he falls. It's part of the operation of the last days. So when a man can't live righteous, he looks for a doctrine that supports living carelessly. Yet he's saved and properly saved. These are deceptions of the age. If therefore many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 6, if there, and ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come, but the end, the day of the Lord, is not yet come. So these are signs of the last days. When you see them, know you are in the last day. Although it is not the day of the Lord, but they are signs. And you are going to see Paul speak about them, because I'm going back to 2 Timothy. I'll show you. It says, for nations shall rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquake in diverse places. If all these things are the beginning of sorrows. We are in the age of sorrows. He said, next verse. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Have we raised Christians that will die for his name's sake? That means we are not prepared. That's why we need preparation. Jesus is saying the quality of Christians that will survive in the last days are those who can die for his name's sake. Do you think we have such Christians? How many of you can die for Jesus? The way you raise your hand fast shows you don't know the meaning. You should have said, Holy Spirit, help me by your grace. Why you say I can? You don't know what you are saying. Maybe you go to Hebrews 11. Read from verse 32 to 36. Some were sawn asunder. You think when they say die for Jesus, they will just shoot you. You close your eyes and appear in heaven. No, sir. Die for Jesus means you can be in prison for 10 days without food. Then they behead you. die for Jesus means you can be torn and torn asunder. Is it this generation that can't go out for evangelism, that can die for Jesus? You wake up on Saturday and say, I'm tired. This generation that cannot give their resources for kingdom, that can die for Jesus. If you can't give money, can you give your life? If you can't give time, can you give your life? It's not a question to answer quick. But Jesus is telling us, this is the age we have come to. That means it's a risk to be a genuine Christian. But if you are not a genuine Christian, then you also risk God. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Next verse. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, he said, the love of many shall what? Wax cold. So when you study the end of the age, you are going to discover that there will be increase in lawlessness, increase in apostasy, people who will turn from Christ, and increase in deception and immorality. In fact, Paul speaking about this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. Let's read it. And 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Write these scriptures down. Today I'm going to be very slow. I want you to get the foundation. It said, put them in mind. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. And it said, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Are you seeing the reason for first chat? People idolize themselves. You see somebody throwing out a tongue and recorded and put online. Serpentine order. And you will think they do it in brothels. No, sir. Here they do it. They are worshipping God. Instead of people connecting to God, they are recording to put online. Let their friends see where they are. If you need the recording, there is a camera session there. Wait when the service is over. Get any part of the recording you want. Put anywhere you want. Lovers of themselves. If the men shall be covetous. Somebody sees your phone. Some people, as you are sitting here now, be discerning. Somebody can see your phone and monitor you until after the service, until you enter the dark, to stab you and collect the phone. So long as his eyes are on that phone, he doesn't care if your kidney is destroyed. It's a covetous generation. That's why most of the people with high blood pressure now, it's not sickness. It's covetousness. That's why this generation, 19-year-old people, are having high BP. These are things that affect elderly people. But the person went on Instagram, saw his classmate with a watch or a phone, and the next thing is, God, why am I like this? Questioning the Almighty. And he doesn't know that it's the spirit of the age manipulating him to become covetous. And he speaks of boasters. A pastor is sitting doing live stream. He wants you to see his watch. There's nothing wrong in having good things. But oh God, it's not what you are projecting, it's Jesus. Some will adjust their belt. They are not sitting. No, it's belt they are propagating. Boasters. Flaunting cars, flaunting chains, flaunting watches. But Jesus can't be seen in their lives. Is the spirit of the age. Anything a man has becomes an item. People don't even buy things now because they like them. They buy things now for people to see that they have them. That's why they call them goods of ostentation. It's for show. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. These are signs of the last days. He said, without natural affection, men loving men, people marrying dogs, he said, they are truth breakers, no regard for covenant, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good. Nobody cares about any good thing anymore. That's why if you want something to trend, make it evil and immoral. This is the sign. It said, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than what? Lovers of God. I'm writing this so know what to build yourself to fight against. Because this is the age that we are in. When you want to violate a covenant, remind yourself it's the spirit of the age. When you want to be braggadocious, remind yourself, this is not you, it's the spirit of the age. When you are obsessed with immoral things, remind yourself, it's not your desire, it's the spirit of the age. If your Christianity is not brought into this understanding, you will fall. Because you will live carelessly and unprepared. Number two, what is the sign that Jesus gave us? You can ask 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. Number two, the rise of the Antichrist. These are events of the last days. Write them down so that you will know why we are calling it the last days. Because many don't know. When we say the last days, they don't know what it means. So they don't know how to position themselves. Some of us, even what we are pursuing in the name of God, is the spirit of the age driving us. Somebody wants to kill himself that he must break through. It's not because God or himself is the reason. This breakthrough is because this my neighbors must see. They will not die. They will see God with me. That pursuit is not holy. It's the spirit of the age. When they finally get that car, they will do housewarming party and park the car in front of the gate. Everybody must know that the car has gone. They don't want a car. The spirit of the age has saturated them with pride. So people can use anointing and serve the spirit of the age. Number two, it said, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 to 4. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that's the day of the Lord, shall not come, except there is first of all a falling away, and the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed, is made manifest, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple, showing himself as God. The rise of the Antichrist. Now, understand this. The Antichrist is a prince, an agent of Satan. But the Antichrist is also a spirit. That's why he didn't just tell us about an entity. He gave us his characteristic. Anything that opposes Christ, opposes the way of the Lord, anything that tries to exalt itself above God is of the Antichrist spirit. And we are going to examine many scriptures so that you'll get to see it. There are many Christians that will become Antichrist. They will feel they are offended with church. So they will begin to oppose everything that is of God. And there are many who are in church who will be Antichrist. They will be so big that Jesus will become obscured. So they will be exalted above Jesus. Because they will call it honor. So you will honor pastor more than Jesus. More than scriptures. More than the ordinances of God. It's an Antichrist spirit. So you can even teach eschatology and not know that you are Antichrist. This is why it's important for understanding to be built. The son of perdition, the lawless man will appear. I'm going to teach you, as I'm teaching you now, I don't have time to explain pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. But those who believe in pre-tribulation, they know that the son of perdition will come before the rapture. Those who believe in mid-tribulation, they believe he will come in the center of the Daniel's week. That's the 7 years of tribulation. He will come in the middle. Those who believe in post-tribulation, they believe he will come sometime before the 7 years. But we'll deal with all of that later. But I want you to know that there is an Antichrist spirit at work, and there is the Antichrist that will be made manifest. The Antichrist spirit has two characteristics. It opposes anything that is of God. Put anything Christ online today, people will look for one way or the other to challenge it. And even they don't know why. It's the spirit of Antichrist. He's being manifested. And anybody who God blesses today wants to obscure God while walking in that blessing. Because the Antichrist wants to sit in the temple and be exalted above Christ. So he's either against Christ or he wants to be above Christ. That's the characteristic of the Antichrist spirit. So when you find these things trying to find expression in you, know that the spirit of the age has caught up with you. Number three, events of the last day, the rise of the Antichrist. Number three, event of the last day, is that the gospel will be preached as a witness in all the world. Matthew 24, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. So when you see us pushing for the gospel, it's because we know it's part of the event of the last day. Those who are under the influence of the Antichrist spirit, those who are under the influence of the spirit of lawlessness, they are pushing that agenda aggressively. They don't rest night and day. We who are under the spirit of Christ, we must also push the agenda of the gospel. It said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. These are great events of the last day. You will see lawlessness, immorality in a magnitude that you can't imagine. The things people do today will shock you. There are people who are in love with horses. And I'm not saying they like horses. Intimate relationship with horses. There are people who are obsessed with perversion. A man sees a man. He is under intense pressure. Now you are wondering, how did you become like this? They say, I was born like that. You were not born like that. A spirit is altering your DNA. You are operated by a lawless spirit. When you see the vexation and vehemence with which some people oppose kingdom and Christ, you will wonder as though they have a quarrel with Jesus. When you one the other lady was online the other day, she was so offended. She said, enough of the Bible say. The Bible say, I don't give a damn. What is Bible say? But madam, allow those who believe in Bible say to talk Bible say. Why are you trying to stop those who are saying it? Because they don't just hate it, they don't want you to say it. If it's Christ, they are offended. So you who know that advancing the kingdom is an agenda of the last day, an event of the last day, that's the same intensity you must put in to advance it. Because if the gospel is not preached, the end won't come. So those of you who are lukewarm Christians, this is why we are teaching preparation. Because one of the areas of preparation is in kingdom advancement. The days of one superstar evangelist packing out a stadium and the whole city going there, we have gone beyond it. We can have great evangelists, but everyone must advance kingdom. If you want to sit in church and say, yes, my church is winning souls, you are a joker.
This is not the time of I belong to evangelism department. All of us must evangelize. Otherwise, the Antichrist spirit will catch up with you. Number four, great events of the last days is tribulation and the catching away. I'll teach you about the Daniel's week with theologians explained from scriptures as the 7 weeks of tribulation. And as I teach that, I will explain it in the context of pre-tribulation. I will explain it in the context of mid-tribulation. And I will also explain it in the context of post-tribulation. How many of you have been hearing of first flight? First flight. Those are people who believe in pre-tribulation. They believe that before the 7 years of tribulation begins, God will catch them away. The rapture will happen. That the Christians will not be part of it. And they have scriptures to support it. Then those who believe in mid-tribulation, they believe that the first 3.5 years, there will be tribulation, but it will not be intense. In fact, there are those who believe that the tribulation has begun. That the persecution of the church is the first phase of tribulation. And what will happen is that after the 3.5 years, there is going to be a global treaty of peace. Because the Antichrist will first of all come with the message of peace when he deceives the world and receives absolute authority. Then he will redefine governance and redefine economy and redefine religion. So what he will advocate as instrument of peace is that all of us worship one God. So you are going to see that Christians, Muslims, Hindu, we all be in one tent. And they have already begun to advance it. And then he believes that there's going to be an economy that is unilateral. And many believe that the rise of electronic money, cryptocurrency, is a weapon. And you know, there are many, you know, clearances that are being put in place now for the use of crypto. So you are no longer limited whether you are in England, you must use the great British pounds, or you are in the US, you must use the US dollars. You are in Nigeria, you must use Naira. Anywhere you are, Bitcoin is Bitcoin. So they believe that. And then they also believe in one governing system where all the powers that be will harmonize under one leadership. When he is able to use peace to achieve that, what he will now do is that he will bring his real identity. That's when the real tribulation will begin. And they believe that is in the second 3.5 years. That's when he will give the mark of the beast. If you don't have it, you can't buy, you can't sell. So that's mid-tribulation. And those who believe in mid-tribulation believe that when that is about to happen, the church will be raptured. And then there are those who believe in post-tribulation. We will be here through the tribulation. And there are scriptures for it. So we are going to examine all of that. But the idea is to equip you with knowledge so that you are adequately positioned for the last day. Do you follow? But there is what? Tribulation. And the Bible called it a great tribulation. I read two scriptures. Matthew 24, 21 to 22. Whether you go before or you remain, make sure you are prepared. Because if you are thinking, we will go, we will go. If you don't go, and you have not built your faith, you have not learned to endure, you will be the first to say, who did you say Jesus is again? Is he a Jewish man? Where does he come from? Which year did he live? So prepare yourself. If you go, enjoy with God. If you don't go, stand your ground. He said, occupy till I come. Praise God. He said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be seen. The sorrow, the terror, the wickedness, the torment, he said, it has never been seen. And it will never be seen. He said, and except those days be shortened,
He said, there should be no flesh saved, but for the sake of the elect, it shall be shortened. Those who argue for post-tribulation, this is one of their scriptures. They said the elect will be here, that God will protect them. And it's because of them it will be shortened. That when there was plague in Egypt, did God carry Israel away? Were they not there? But the plague didn't affect them. When the flood of Noah happened, were they not on earth? God protected them by an ark. But God shortens the day. So, we'll look into all of that. But there is going to be tribulation. Those of us who believe serving God is all about, I got a breakthrough, I got a car, I got a healing. That's not all Christianity is in the last day. If that's all you believe to be Christianity, you will not endure the rigor of kingdom advancement. Great events. Number five is what they call the abomination of desolation. Matthew 24, verse 15. Daniel prophesied it first in Daniel 9, 27. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. What is believed here is that when the son of lawlessness is made manifest, he will desecrate the house of God. He will desecrate the temple of God in Jerusalem. He will proclaim himself superior to God in the temple as the being supreme and should be worshipped. The Bible calls it abomination of desolation. Those who predicted that the world will end in 70 AD because the church in Jerusalem was destroyed, they felt that was when the abomination happened. But that's why you have to be careful not to say it's today, it's tomorrow. The Bible told us last days. Number six, there will be cosmic signs. You saw it already in Joel. He said, the sun shall turn to blood. And Matthew, Luke 21, 25, 26, mentions it. They actually call it the sign of the Son of Man. He said, there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, and seas and waves roaring. The sun shall turn red as blood. So they are cosmic signs. These are events of the last days. It's a man's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of the heavens shall be shaken. Most of you don't know the time we are in. So we are not living with preparation. When these things happen, you'll be shocked that some believers, if they are there, will say, what is going on? They won't even know. Then they will look around. They will say, no, rapture has happened. That's when they will say, wait, that thing they are preaching, is it true? All of us will now go to bookshop and start looking for Bible to confirm. It will be too late. That time Bible will become a textbook. The reality has gone. All of you will seek God. All of you. See, as we are encouraging you to serve God down, that is hard. Don't be here when some things start happening and you want to read all the Bible you should have read. You will read the Bible. Don't deceive yourself. You will read it. But may you read it at the right time. You will see God. I'm telling you. See, the Bible said, Jesus, if you read further, Jesus said, men will go to the mountains and say, fall on us. Because the heart of men will fail them. That's when some people start crying, Lord, have mercy. Father, where are you? We all pray. There's nobody who will not pray. All of us will pray. But some will pray before, others will pray after. Number seven, event of the last day is the day of the Lord. Or the return of Christ. Matthew 24, 30, 31. Jesus himself spoke about it, that he was going to return. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. So he will return. Those who are saying Jesus is not coming back, in fact, the angels told them, you study Acts chapter 1, as he ascended to heaven, he said, the same manner in which you see him ascend, he said, he shall return. Jesus himself said, I'm going to my Father to prepare a place for you. He said, when I do, I shall come and take you. So these are not cunningly devised fables. They are literal events that will happen. Number 8 is the resurrection of the dead and the judgment of the nations. Matthew 25:31-46. You know, if you read your Bible, you are going to discover that some nations that used to exist are no more. Because it's not only men that will be judged, even nations will be judged. Hope you know Sodom and Gomorrah has been judged. That nation doesn't exist again. When Jesus returns, there will be judgment of nations. And there will be resurrection of the dead. Nations will be judged. That's why we pray for nations. We don't just pray for people. We pray for nations. We pray for nations. Number 9 is the millennial reign. This is the 1,000 years government of Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, he's going to establish his own government and he will rule for 1,000 years. That's the age of the overcomers. Those who overcome will reign with Christ in his government for 1,000 years. Revelation 20:1-6. Write those scriptures down. I don't have time to deal with all of them now, but we'll study them. Number 10 is the final rebellion and defeat of Satan. Because when Jesus returns, Satan will raise an attack. All these kings of nations, presidents of nations who are hardened, they are agents of devils. All these wicked sons of Belial, you see, who cursed God, they are being prepared. Because when Jesus returns, men, spirits, will raise the rebellion against him. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. That's where Satan will be ultimately defeated and judged permanently. It's an event. You read Matthew 20. Verse 7 to 10. You are going to see it. Maybe we read only that quickly because of time. Revelation 20, sorry. 7 to 10. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And when the 1,000 years are expired, the millennial reign, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together in battle, the number of whom it shall be as the sand of the seashore. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is the ultimate defeat of Satan, rising from the ultimate rebellion of Satan.
is an event of the last day. Every believer should know this. Number 11, the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, after Satan is judged, then human race will be judged. So from verse 11, immediately after the judgment of Satan, he said, and a white throne appeared. Man will be judged. Don't deceive yourself, thinking that whatever I do will be hid from God. No. There will be judgment. As you live on earth, live with the mindset that there's a judgment awaiting you. It's an event. But of course, there are two kinds of judgment. There is the white throne judgment, and there is what? The judgment seat of Christ. Have I taught you how this thing will happen before? I say in the white throne judgment, the record of life will be checked. So whoever does not have life will not be brought there. And then the works of men will be checked. But you see, for those of us who are born of God, when we appear before the white throne judgment, we will come with the record of Jesus. That's why the book of life was opened. 1 John 20 verse 11, the Bible said, this is the record. God has given us eternal life. So the book of life contains every living creature. But we are not just living creatures. We have the life of God in us. That life of God is what will shield you from that judgment. But after that judgment, books are open. That's when for you, who is included in Christ, you will meet Christ. And he will judge you for what you have done. So that you can be rewarded. And if you have done nothing, so that you can be rightly placed where you belong. Praise God. But live on earth with the consciousness that there is judgment awaiting us. Don't live carelessly, sir. There is judgment to come. Glory to God. I'm showing you events of the last days. Then, number 12 is the appearing of the new heaven and the new earth. You read that in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. You know, the Bible said the elements of this world shall melt. This world will be destroyed. If that a new earth shall appear, shall descend from heaven. God will create a new earth. And so after the millennial reign with Christ, we are not going to live in heaven. We were not created to live in heaven. We are going to return to the new earth. And everybody will be living based on the reward that he has received. That's why I keep telling you, the works of Christ give you life. But your works give you placement in eternity. When that word appears, every one of us who is saved, we show up there. But who you will be there will depend on what you have done after you receive Christ. What did you do with grace? What did you do with the anointing? What did you do with the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What did you do with the talent? What did you do with the opportunities God gave you? That's what will determine your rank in that world. Because there are those who will be rulers in that world. And there are those who will serve in that world. It's called judgment. So these are 12 major events of the last days. Where we pick them, deal with them one after the other. As we prepare ourselves as a people living in the last days. But to give us a summary of what preparation entails, because Jesus gave certain admonitions to his children. He will always tell them, he will always warn them to be prepared. And so I have listed 5 major preparations that you need in light of all of these events that will take place either in your lifetime as you are in this body or out of this body. But you must pass through all of these events. Everything I've listed here, nobody will dodge one. But the thing is that You may experience it inside this body, or you may experience it outside this body. But one way or the other, you will experience it. So how do you prepare yourself? Because God has prepared something for those who call upon His name. How do you prepare yourself to enter that which God has prepared? This is what should define your life in the last days. If you don't know these things, you will live in the last days as if you are in the Garden of Eden with Adam. And your life will become an object of pain and sorrow because you didn't know what to do. So what did Jesus admonish us to do? Number one, Jesus warns that we must be spiritually alert and watchful. So in the last day, you live watchful. Watchful. I'm teaching you how to live now. In the last day, there is a code for living. You don't live in the last day anyhow you want. A code has been prescribed to you how to live in the last day. And code number one is to be watchful and to be at alert. Matthew 24 verse 42. It said, therefore, keep watch. Keep watch. Because you do not know what day your Lord will come. Keep watch. Keep watch. Some of us are living as though none of these things the Bible says will happen. Jesus warns. He said, be at alert. Be watchful. If you are not watchful now, you are not alive. You are dead. Hope you know the Bible said, they that liveth for pleasure. He said they are dead while they are walking. There are many walking dead men. There are many walking dead women. The proof that you are living in this last day is that you are watchful. And what does it mean to be watchful? To be watchful means three things. I give you two of them quick. Number one, live expectant. So while you are walking on earth, your consciousness must be in heaven. The scripture we just read, Matthew 24:42, it says, keep watch. You do not know the day of the coming of the Lord. So keep watch means be expectant of His coming. When I wake up in the morning, I'm not just hoping to get to my office. When I wake up in the morning, the thought that comes to my heart is that Jesus might come today. And so if I know Jesus might come today, I can't leave my house having malice with you. No. That you can comfortably keep malice with somebody is you saying, no, it's not today. It's 1,000 years later. Before He comes, things will be right. If I'm expectant, I will not delay for tomorrow anything I should do today. When you find people who live lackadaisically, especially approaching kingdom, they are not expectant. So those kinds of people are not watchful. You know the way Paul puts it? In 2 Corinthians 4, if you read from verse 17, see, these men were wise. Paul said, help me. For our light affliction, everything happening to Paul, because he was waiting for Jesus, he didn't let it distract him. Insult Paul, light affliction. Harass Paul, light affliction. Intimidate Paul, light affliction. Kill Paul, light affliction. I don't want to lose. The master can come when I'm quarreling. So before I quarrel with you, while I'm quarreling, the master can come. So that's a distraction. Before I successfully keep malice with you, the master can come. And I don't want him to come when I'm keeping malice. Because the Bible calls it the midnight hour. That's why some people will not have oil. Because they were not prepared. They thought that they could borrow. They don't borrow that kind of oil. He said, go to them that have and buy. Because when the bridegroom comes, if you are quarreling, it's not an excuse. If you are fighting, it's not an excuse. If you are lying, it's not an excuse. If you are fornicating, it means you are not ready. So if you know that you are expecting a visitor, every other thing waits until he comes. Those days when we were young, if visitors are coming, Pano is swept, place that was. You make the mistake of coming to run around in the parlor that they have swept. You don't run around when visitors are coming. No. Everybody takes their bath and they are well dressed and neat. We sit down, we are reading book. Visitor is coming. And God help you that visitor came. When you ran outside, you are playing football. Maybe you even play the ball and hit the visitor. My dad will look like this. You and him knows the meaning. When that visitor leaves, what you now do is that we will send my brother, please check if our neighbors are around. Because when the first koboko comes on you, you wish, I'm dead. They have killed me. So that somebody will hear and run and say, no, it's okay, it's okay. But see, Christians today, living carelessly, a Christian is going clubbing. He says, it's been long. A Christian in the evening, he's thirsty. He says, "Kai, Talagabia. It's been a while." You insult a Christian, he looks at you. Is it because I'm calm? Let me show you my color today. Oh, you have a color to show. God help you that he doesn't show up while you are showing that color. Because that color will become your color forever and ever. Be watchful. Because he can come at any time. Paul calls it light affliction. He said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen. He said, the things that are seen, they are what? Temporal. All the souls that can be won must be won today. The forgiveness that must be granted today. Because I don't know when he will come. And if he comes, there's no other opportunity to prove my point, to prove myself. To be watchful is to be expectant. Number two, to be watchful is to be discerning and separated from the world. If you are not discerning, you are not watchful. See, this is not a season to play with your discernment. Hope you read your Bible. He said, many shall come and say, I am the Christ. He said, many false prophets shall arise. So this is a season where if somebody says yes, your brain decodes, your heart also decodes. This is a season where somebody is talking to you. You are hearing with your mind, but you are also hearing with your spirit. This is that season where somebody is narrating a story. Your brain is reading, your heart is also reading. Because without discernment, deception will sweep you like a flood. So to be watchful is to heighten your discernment. Matthew 24, verse 4 and 11. Watch that you are not deceived. He said, watch, take heed, and be not deceived. That you be not deceived. So to be watchful is to live with discernment, or to live above deception. A Christian is still saying, they cheated me. Oh, I mean, something is wrong with your discernment. This is that season where you don't take any step until you have consulted headquarters. Hey, there's this business. Okay, I like it. Somebody came to me last week. Where's Barista Roman? And he said, there's this land in Jai. Hey, Jai. Oh, he showed me his phone. Four people are calling to buy, but you are my brother. The moment I heard brother, I said, I put myself together. Okay, where is the land? He now showed me the TDP. And when I looked at it, the land he was showing me, they didn't write the plot on the thing. And I said, well, this is a lucrative. He said, no, go there. This land, if you buy it, the least you make is 500 million. I said, okay, let me call my barrister. Before I wear my spiritual lenses, let me wear my legal lenses. And I called my barrister. I said, please check this land if it's part of the TDP, number one. Number two, get a surveyor. I know you know ages, but get the surveyor who know land. The surveyor will go on ground and map the land first. So when both of them checked, they brought their report. I nodded. That one now helped my discernment. When I went to pray, it didn't take 10 minutes. I called the brother. I said,
There are other projects. There are other projects now. Another time. It's your brother that will deceive you.
You know what? The name brother gives him an edge. It's your friend that will deceive you. It's a prophet that will deceive you. Because they have equipment that can blind your discernment. If it's show up with the title of prophet, apostle, your discernment will go down. If it show up with the title of friends, we knew ourselves from university days. We knew ourselves from secondary school. If it shows up with the title, my brother, if you are not careful, your lenses will go dark. But you see, that's why you need to see beyond the eyes. Because in the last day, you will get involved in something. It's during the last stage, then it will not become a shrine. They will say, bring your mother. You will say, how did my mother come here? I thought it's buying and selling. They say, no. They are gates. You say, no, I not do again. They say, no, where you are now, you can't go back. You have gone too far. If you go back, the secret you have seen is not for mortals. If you go back now, there are two things. 14 days, you either run mad or something will appear to you. But you thought your friend was a millionaire. You thought he knows how to sell for do forex. He knows how to sell slippers. No. When people talk, hear here and hear here. The sons of Issachar, they had understanding of times and seasons. See, before, I used to be naive. Somebody will show up. Before they talk, they will weep. They will weep. They will weep. When they close their eyes, they will act as if you are dying. They will beat on your sympathy. Beat on your compassion. And then your compassion will blind you. Now when you are crying, I will carry a handkerchief and say, take. I empathize with you, but this matter will be based on objectivity. And no matter how convincing it is, I will carry that conversation and throw on my altar. I'll be praying and walking around. Sometimes when I'm driving, then the Holy Ghost will come. He is sincere. Help him. I will now call you and say, that thing you said that day, I have something little. Meanwhile, I don't borrow. I give you what I can dash. So that if you can't pay, no problem. Some of you don't know how to live in the last days. People have carried their school fees out of compassion and get somebody. Meanwhile, the person who is saying, my mother is dying, is a lie. He was gambling in Bet Niger. They told him that if the next bet he will win. So he came to you. He knows that if he says, my mother, you will say, no, let's live life first. If you don't check heaven. But you see, when you build yourself, when they are talking, something will go off here. You will start feeling. Don't rush. Say, okay, I'll get back. Attend to that thing. That's your trigger. Some people have put their certificate as collateral. And then, after you give the money, that person will carry that SIM card and break it and throw it away. You will call and call until the radiation from the phone will deafen your right ear. Discernment! A friend of mine was telling me he was doing business in Lagos. Great! And he put his brothers in charge. He thought, since his family. He was in Lagos. Light started some movement. You know, discernment is like signals. You know, when you are tuning radio, you are hearing, then you enter the channel. He said, what's happening? When he couldn't rest, he now called somebody. He said, go to this warehouse. He took them unaware. He said, when you go there, call me on WhatsApp video. I'm tired of documented reports. I want to see inside the warehouse. When he entered, he said, turn left. They turned. All the grains were empty. Are they readjusting? Okay, turn right. It was empty. Turn back. The warehouse had gone half. He now took the next flight. He was coming with DSS. If you don't have discernment in the last day, better go to heaven. Your time here has expired. Because if you remain here, you'll be a casualty of the intersection of the manipulations of the realm. do you prepare?
Be watchful.
And to be watchful is to live expectant. To be watchful is to be discerning. And to be watchful is to be prayerful. Mark 14:38. Watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. When you pray, you connect yourself to heaven and you shield off the things Satan shoots at people. There are many who are discerning, who are expectant, but they are not praying. So every day, the battles are too much and they are wondering, why am I the only one fighting? You are sensitive, you are expectant, but you are not prayerful. Because every day, there are at least 14 casualties around you. 11,000 casualties. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your right, 10,000 by your left hand, but it shall not come near you. Why? Because him that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say of his God, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom will I trust. His wings shall be my shield and my buckler. That's why 1,000 fall by your side, it doesn't affect you. He said, no arrow that flies by day or the destruction that wastes in noonday can affect you. Why? Because you have made God, even the Most High, your habitation. Prayer is not for prayer meeting. Prayer is for connection and for preservation. That's why you are driving, you are praying. You enter your office, carry your atmosphere, sir. Carry it. Because from Egypt to the promised land is a place called the Sinai Desert. There are wild beasts there. There is a terrible weather, a terrible atmosphere. It can lick up your skin. There are nations. There are kings of darkness. Have you heard about Og, the king of Bashan? Have you heard about Sihon, the king of the Amorites? The Bible said Og dwelt in Ashtaroth. These are people that can enter the stars. They were like animals. The Bible said his warriors were like lions. You need some level of covering to walk through the Sinai Desert. He said when they went out, the pillar of fire went before them. The pillar of cloud went before them. If you don't carry your covering, you'll be a victim. Jesus gave you Holy Spirit. He gave you scripture. But he said, watch. In the last day, we are watchers. We are watchers. We stand in prayer. So that defense will not be compromised. In the days of kings, every territory that is built, they have what they call sentry officers. They are those who stand on top of the pillar, on top of the gate, and they are watching from a distance. Because if you don't watch, white wolves will come. In Isaiah 56 verse 9, he said the watchmen are dumb. They cannot bark. They are weak, they are slumber. He said, all ye beasts of the field, come. That means if you are watching, that announcement cannot be made. The reason some of us keep fighting is because that will wake us up. Those of us who don't fight, we are awake. So when they pass, they know we are sober. And if they know we are sober, they will go to those who are sleeping. Satan doesn't have enough weapon to wait. If they pass through and you chew tongues, somebody came to your office to deceive you, you look up, your eyes are red. Because you came from the sanctuary. Radiations. They will send signals, it will go back. They were planning to shake you and to shake you. But when they shook you, they shook them. Maratea fodate. Ele gabadura gabadiata. Hila labuna bakatuze. Sevelila. Kariata. Kudata. Marapa lia toma kanzagata. Ela gababora talabina tai. Ventro parote. Born like flame. Born. Born like a flame. Born like a flame. It's a generation of water. Because they are arrows, they are beasts, they are demonic entities. Mango rakamalis. Talavina tire. be. Don't wake up in the morning and carry your tuxedo suit from dry cleaner. Your shower. You stand in front of the mirror. You will come back like this. Because an arrow will strike you. Before you wear suit, wear presence. Before you wear suit, wear fire. That's why some of us from the bathroom, Makakorea, Zabalabara, see, sometimes a song comes from heaven. You catch it and you hang on that song. You are singing it. You enter the bathroom. The song becomes a prayer. The prayer becomes a prophecy. And when you are dressing up, you are prophesying. When you enter that meeting, the guy who came with twin stick, the guy who came with the bag of a warrior, the guy who came with demonic arrows, when you look at them, they will know the difference. He said, to whom belongeth redness of eyes? He says, to them that tarry in the wine. There is a place where you tarry until you are drunk with the Spirit. I will stay in prayer.
When I leave this world, I will go his way.
I come by prayer.
And I pray.
I will stay in prayer.
I will stay in prayer.
When I leave this world,
when I leave this world, I will go his way.
I come by prayer.
And I pray.
I will stay in
prayer. I will stay in prayer.
When I leave this world. I woke up this morning, a woman sent me a voice note crying. The moment I was playing it, the Holy Ghost said, she is genuine. Stand with her. Meanwhile, before I slept, another brother sent me a message. Please get me one room. Let me be praying there. I want to serve God. As I heard it, he said, this one is fake. Same action, different response. Imagine if I didn't discern. Some of us are carrying luggages that have stopped us from entering destiny because we lack discernment. You support them when you turn. They are doing like this. When you now turn, the guy no get sense. May the Lord open your discernment tonight. When I leave this world,
are we going?
Sit down for a moment. We are in the last days. Jesus said, watch. Be alert. You can't be cooped. If Adam was not alert and Satan went to deceive him at the beginning of the age, is it you at the end of the age that is not alert that won't be a victim? When this realm began, when this world started, Satan already deceived somebody. When he was a serpent, in Revelation, he's a dragon. With skills, with records, he knows all your bloodline. He knows the names of your ancestors. He knows the weaknesses and the patterns that succeed in your bloodline. Is it now that you'll be careless? Jesus said, watch. Only watchers survive the last day. And watchers are those who live expectant. Watchers are those who live praying, and watchers are those who live separated. Number two, Jesus said, be ready and fruitful. I'm teaching you how to live in the last days. In the last days, you live watchful. In the last days, you live fruitful. You can't be barren now. The stakes are too high. This is the Kairos age of this generation. Anybody who is not fruitful now, Jesus said, he will be cut off. And he will be cast into the fire. So this is the time to be ready and fruitful. What does it mean to be ready and fruitful? Number one, focus on your calling and service it. before I formed you in the belly, before thou camest forth, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet. Every one of us has a unique calling in God. In the last days, anything that does not impart and advance your calling is a distraction. As I am like this, many people know that you can't even invite me for a birthday party. Before you summon courage to invite me, it will mean that me and you have done some kingdom things enough to warrant that conversation. Because before birthday coming, at least many crusades would have already happened. You can't invite me, sir. How many kingdom work have I done with you before you can pull me out to go for a birthday? No, they don't. Even when they reach you, they say, today is my birthday, pray for me. You are dogged about your calling that it is recognized, even by your enemy. There are people who are loafing around. You don't invite them, they show up, they are trying to be relevant. And everybody knows, they are like, who is this? What is this? The next one, they will still go. I'm not saying don't celebrate with those who celebrate. But all these people you are celebrating with, how much involvement do they have in your calling? It means your life is porous and careless. Matthew 24, 45 to 46. Luke 19, 13. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord had made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing so. Let God not catch you when he returns not doing your calling. You don't have time. Demons from the death of Jesus knew that the time is short. Meanwhile, men till today, 2,000 years after, think they have time. Jesus enters the temple and they say, why have you come before your time? The Bible says Satan is angry because he knows the time is short. 2,000 years ago, Satan knows time is short. 2,000 years later, you think you have time. He said, occupy till I come. Luke 19, 13. Occupy. He's not saying take over Lagos primarily. He's saying sit on your calling. If it has impact in Lagos, then let it affect Lagos. But sit what? On your calling. How can you spend 24 hours and you can't number how many hours enter into your calling as an investment? You say you are a leader. You say you are a businessman to sponsor kingdom. You say you are a preacher. And every day you show up, the gaps of unpreparedness are obvious to everybody to see. It means you don't know how to live in the last days. In the last days, everybody is about his calling. Everybody is about the master business. When Jesus' time on earth was closed, he said, I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man walks. Jesus did that thing until a point came, he exclaimed, how am I stretched? The thing entered the matter. He gave himself to the calling. Some of us have not even found our calling. So what will be the basis for your reward in eternity? And then some have found it, but they are playing with it. God tells you, I've raised you as a son of consolation. That means I've given you the skill, the empowerment, and the influence to dominate resources so that you can use it for kingdom. But the guy is not about making money. I've raised you as a voice to your generation, but it's empty. He has nothing to say. Abraham Lincoln said, I will study and wait. He said, my opportunity will come. That's people in the secular world. An opportunity came. He struck the chord. 16th president of America. 200 years later, he's revered as one of the greatest. If you call George Washington, the next person you call in America is Abraham Lincoln. Somebody struck the chord of his destiny that hundreds of years later, you don't mention him, you don't know what you are doing. People find relevance by connecting to those people because they were above their calling. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I beat myself. I bring my body under subjection because there is a race I'm running and I don't want to run at the end of the day I may cast away. They were focused. When Paul was about to leave, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have run my race. I have kept the faith. He said, there remaineth for me a crown of righteousness, whom the just judge shall give me, and unto everyone that calls what waits for his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Fruitfulness is to focus on your calling. Number two, fruitfulness is to be aggressive about kingdom advancement wherever you find yourself. He said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now, what is the kingdom? The kingdom represents four things. Number one is the realm of divine life. Anywhere the life of God dominates is God's kingdom. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom. Number two, the kingdom is the realm of the will of God. Anywhere the will of God is isolated and men submit to it becomes the kingdom. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, how? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom? Number three, any realm governed by God's wisdom. Because there is a wisdom that comes from heaven and there is a sensual wisdom that comes from Satan. Because God's will must be achieved according to God's ways. That's why I say, don't be wise in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 6 and 7. 5 and 6 now. He will direct your path. God's wisdom is God's kingdom. God's will is God's kingdom. God's life is God's kingdom. And finally, God's authority is God's kingdom. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, it means the kingdom of God is among you. So anybody who will be fruitful must be about God's kingdom. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be called an apostle. You don't have to be called an evangelist. But anywhere you find yourself, it could be at the airport. It could be in the hospital. It could be in the market. Disseminate God's life. And when you disseminate God's life, souls are won into the kingdom because they receive the life of God. Express God's wisdom. Isolate God's will and manifest God's authority. You are a kingdom agent. That's what it means to be fruitful. When you do that, souls will be won. When you do that, systems will be won. When you do that, territories will be won. When you do that, nations will be won. You live in the last days as a fruitful entity. So if you have not found kingdom, if you have not established kingdom, you don't have your peace. What's the point celebrating? I've been promoted on my job, but kingdom is not there. Promotion as an agent of what? It's as an agent of the devil. So it's the devil that should celebrate, not the church. The church will only celebrate your promotion if your promotion has a consequence in God's kingdom. Somebody comes to church, celebrates promotion, and then they do the party for that promotion with harlots. They take testimony in church. They do party with harlots. Who is actually celebrating? Is it the church or the devil? Be truthful. Number three, what's the preparation requirement? Capacity for endurance. Endurance. Write these things down. Study after them. You live in the last day watchful. You live in the last day fruitful. You live in the last days enduring. Now, there are three areas of endurance. Number one is in the area of love. See, many things will happen to you to make you refuse to walk in love. Many things. People you help will betray and hurt you, but insist on love. Don't let go of love. Don't become like them because they disappointed you. Maintain your standard and hope that they will rise up to your level. So areas of endurance is in the area of love. Matthew 24, 12 to 13. Anybody who is preparing you for the last day will teach you how to be watchful. He will teach you how to be fruitful. And he will teach you how to endure. If anything you are listening to is not improving you in this area, you are not being equipped. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13. And this gospel, verse 13. But they that endure unto the end shall be saved. So the first area of endurance is in the area of love, because love is reliable. 1 Corinthians 13:13. These three things shall abound: faith, hope, and love. Is it but amongst them, love is the greatest. Live your life expressing love. The world will become wicked. The world will become manipulative. But don't let it denature you. Your love is your true nature. Because you carry God's nature. And 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. So don't let anybody make you descend from the realm of love. Endure in love. See, there are many people that to call them brother will take love. There are many people that to forgive will take love. There are many people that when you look at them, the reason bitterness does not rise from your spirit is because of love. That is now not just a feeling, it is endurance. That's why in the context of Christ, love is sacrifice. So the first way to endure is in love. Number two, the second way to endure is in faith. See, the realm is very, very complicated now. See, there are times when things happen. You do all you know to do and you don't get the expected result. The reason you won't draw back is because faith is now endurance. He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we continue to the saving of the soul. You will not understand why you prayed for somebody on an evangelism ground, on a crusade ground. They were healed, but your wife is dying. Your father is dying. Your mother is dying. The same faith you applied that raised the dead when you went to win souls. The same faith you applied to a stranger in a bus that opened blind eyes. Now you are begging God at home for your father to be healed, for your mother to be healed. But it's there. In fact, the point comes, people look at you and say, you are fake. We knew it. Now the real problem has come. Show that you have faith. You will stand like this. If you don't endure in faith, you will become an atheist. that most people who say they are atheists, they believe in God. They are only angry with God because where they expected faith to come through, it didn't come through. Jesus was speaking in Luke 18 verse 8. He said, when the Son of Man returns to the earth, shall he find faith on earth? Many people will say, see, that faith thing is fanatism. I beg. I have my brain to use it. Nobody said throw your brain away. But the Bible said the just shall live by faith. The just. You were not just justified so that you have salvation. You were justified to be taught how to live. The just shall live by faith. You have trusted God for something. 10 years, 15 years. It has not come to pass. Sometimes you carry your Bible, you are going to evangelism. You ask yourself, but wait, what am I really going to preach? You will skip through the Bible. You don't know which one makes sense for you to preach. So you don't preach because of your result. You preach because you have convictions beyond result. That's where Job came to. Even if he slays me, because the guy has tried everything. So the only thing that makes sense now is that even if he slays me, I won't turn back. Think about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brothers. After making a braggadocious claim about God, the king said, oh, well, you can see me. I hope you know where your God is. Because today you are entering fire. Only you imagine how they would have prayed. When the king said it first, they said, oh king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God whom we serve is able to save us. Even if he doesn't, we won't bow. That was the last time we heard them talk. Because they were hoping when they said that, Jesus will show up from heaven and strike the king. After they heard that a prophet went to Rehoboam, he prophesied, the king stretched his hand, they paralyzed. They carried scriptures. This one stretched hand, the hand was fresh. It didn't paralyze. He spoke, the mouth didn't paralyze. Made the fire 7 times hotter. When they were carrying, tying them, they would be like, did Abraham lie? Thought Moses knew what he was saying. Wait, this prophet, did they really speak from God? God will show up. Nothing happened. When they were dragging them to the fire, is this how it will end? See, some of you have not been there before. Oh, there was a time when there was crisis between the thief and the Jukum people. And the boundary of the thief people ends in a place called Zakidian. Then the Jukum people from Okari also have a boundary there. We were coming with their back. We are ready to die for Jesus. When we started approaching the boundary, the silence was loud. We were coming. Everywhere was quiet. Every shop was closed. We now got the driver. People not there here. The driver say, people. Even yesterday night, they killed somebody here. We were coming. Guess what happened? When the guy reached the place, he said, now here I go stop. Why? He said, when you reach here, the only Fulani people will carry you across. Because Fulani no be TV and it no be Juku. Fulani. I said, are there three roadblocks? He said, no, what the soldiers done wrong? Ah, wrong way. Soldier wrong. Well, he soldier wrong. Which civilian won't go there? We waited for like 10 minutes. Then, one Fulani guy came with a gun. I said, yes, quick, where we go and beg. They said, they go soon come out. Then go soon wait. So why will they go? We went to tomorrow. He said, no. Then call me. We enter. When we started driving, we didn't drive for 5 minutes. We saw a dead body. That was when everybody began to, Father, have mercy. Help your servant. Show mercy. Mercy, Lord. That kind of prayer is under your breath. The next person will just hear. Mercy, Jesus. See, if a pin falls in that car, you will hear the sound like a gong.
When we crossed and we saw the gate of the University of Bukhari, I told me and my friend, to die no easy. No be today. In the last days, the hardest thing to do is faith. But faith is the only way. So those of you here who it looks as if your God has not shown up is part of the testimony. When you are able to stand, it shows that you believe in God more than results. The first book of the Bible that was written, that was published, was the book of Job. Guess what? It was a fight of it. And God wanted to prove that humanity believed him more than results. Satan said, does God love Job love you for nothing? Let's touch his property. God said, touch it. Satan said, skin for skin. A man can give up anything but his skin. God said, touch his skin, but don't kill him. Satan took everything, children, property, his health. Job stood his ground. The wife came and said, curse God and die. He said, you foolish woman. Are we going to receive only good from God? Job stood his ground to show you that faith is not just result. Faith is conviction beyond result. In the last day, if your faith is only for result, you will fail. It's a type of faith that says, if I perish, I perish. I will not bow. We must raise believers that trust God beyond things. I believe God can heal this cancer. He will. But even if the cancer doesn't go, with my last breath, I will shout hallelujah. The Bible said about the heroes of faith, is that they died in faith. They didn't receive the promise, but they looked forward because the generation was coming. Preparation. He said, they that endure to the end. You endure in love. You endure in faith. And number three, you endure through trials and tribulations. You will be accused. You will be attacked. You will be arrested unless you are not genuine. If you are genuine, on your job you will suffer. They will stop your promotion. They will humiliate you. How much fire can you chest for Jesus? In James 1, verse 2 to 4, James was teaching us, he said it's a precious thing to endure trials in the last day. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, diverse temptation. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. We need Christians that can endure trials. It is part of the equipping for the last days. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13. In sorrows, he is my comfort. In trouble, he is my stay. He tells me everything on him to lay. Is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Those were the songs of the desert fathers. Those who walked with God in the wilderness and never changed their confession. To them, God was beyond an atheist. To them, God was the anchor of their souls. Even if I don't get the answer, I will stand here. Even if I don't obtain the promise, I will stand here. Faith is beyond getting things. Faith is who we are. The just shall live by faith. It's the fairest of 10,000. I love him more than the result. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest
of 10,000 to my soul. He is the leader
from the valley,
the bright and morning sun. He is the parent of 10,000 to my soul.
Count it all joy. Not everybody is tested. Satan doesn't try everybody. When Satan comes to you, he has seen something in you that resembles the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. It's not for everybody. Trials are for those whom faith commands authority in the city.
If your Christianity is this type that compromises, believe me, you won't see any trial. You're already in that kingdom, so there's no need to test you. They only test sons. They test only sons.
1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. This is the mentality of the apostles. This is the mentality of the early church. My testing, my trial is part of my witness. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. When you are tried, don't think it strange. Verse 13, he said, but rejoice. How can I rejoice in tribulation? Because that rejoicing is the proof that I have genuine conviction. Rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Romans 8:17. He said, if we be children, then we are heirs. If we are heirs, if we are children, we are sons. If we are sons, then we are heirs. And if we are heirs, then we are heirs of God in Christ. And he added something. If we endure trials, if we endure suffering to the end. I'm not saying the suffering of poverty that came because you didn't know how to invest. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the suffering you go through because you are a disciple of Jesus. The suffering you go through because you represent Jesus. He said, they that endure to the end, they shall be saved. In sorrows is my comfort, in trouble is my stay. He tells me every fear is to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning sun. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Let's round up. Because of time. This is Christianity in the last day. Are you a watcher? Are you fruitful? Do you have capacity to endure? And then number four is investment in kingdom. Are you an investor? In the last day, we live investing into the kingdom. When you find a believer pushing for influence, it's not vainglory. He wants to be strategically positioned to establish things that advance kingdom. When you find a believer aggressive about finances, it's not for cash. It's not that he has something to push kingdom. If you find a believer looking for time, I need time. It's not just for to rest. It's so that he can pour his heart in prayer for kingdom to move forward. In the last day, you must become an investor. Investing time, investing energy, and investing resources. See this selfish Christianity. We are not prepared. We are not prepared. From the death of the apostles, they could stay with God in prayers all night. people sold their property, brought the money, so that the church is blessed and so that kingdom can advance. 2,000 years later, we have reverted the order. Those were the days when people challenged themselves. How much time have I given to God? How much of my energy is deployed for God? How much of my resources have been deployed for God? 2,000 years later, people gather to take. We are no longer raising believers, disciples. We are just interested in church being full to make us feel as if we are making impact. We say we are making impact, but the people are not transformed. No disciples. Plenty members, but few disciples. Jesus had 500 member church. 499 were disciples. The only one who was not a disciple, Jesus knew him. He said, "Is the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." There was a time Jesus looked at them and said, "Only those who can abandon husband, wife, mother, father, children, land can be my disciples." Half of the church left. And Jesus looked at them, "Are you not going?" Peter said, "Unto whom? With you is the power of eternal life." Don't be moved. If people come, it means people are being saved. But if they hear the word and they choose to go, let them go. You have given them salvation. Now you want to raise people who can carry kingdom on their shoulders. The impact is not the number of church members. The impact is the number of souls won and the disciples inside church. Investment in kingdom. You invest time. You invest energy. You invest money. Now, let's categorize it as I round up. There is the investment of resources. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Philippians 4, 15 to 18. Jesus teaching. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rot doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rot doth corrupt, nor thieves go in to break nor steal. Verse 21. Where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. What are your treasures? Your time, your energy, your expertise, and your money. Jesus says, store them in heaven. What it means is that use them to advance kingdom. That's why here, we try to create many channels. We have outreach for doctors. We have outreach for lawyers. They went to the prison the other day. Some of them have been released. It's not everybody that may stand here to preach, but everybody must preach nonetheless. Either through specialized evangelism structures or in your career where God gave you a platform. See, don't let any week end and you didn't invest time in kingdom. You didn't invest energy. You didn't invest resources. Don't let that week end. You wasted it as far as eternity is concerned. You may not have a billion naira. Put the 1 naira you have and put it consistently. Jesus said, don't be weary. Paul said, don't be weary in well doing. In due time, you obtain your reward. Some people, when God is doing things, they are watching on TV. They have no part in any of them. They are watching God's army, God's generals doing things. And they are hoping to go to the same earth with them. Look at what Paul said. Philippians 4, 15 to 18. Lay treasures in heaven. He said, now here Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia,
No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Of course, eventually, towards the end of Paul's ministry, all the churches began to participate. But at the beginning, they didn't know it. He taught them. He said, now, yet, next verse, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 17. Now, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruits that will abound in your account. Because when you use your energy, your time, your resources to advance kingdom, it is translated into heavenly economy. Verse 18. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. He now said something spiritual. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well pleasing unto God. Your time is a sacrifice. Your energy is a sacrifice. Your mental property is a sacrifice. Your resources are sacrifices. You are a leadership consultant. You are in the house of God. Are you going to use that mental property for 35 years for a worldly institution to stock it? Thank God it corporately adds to nation building, which is good. But how much of it has advanced God's kingdom? You are a technocrat, an ICT expert. How much of it have you used for kingdom? You are a financial expert. How much of it have you used for kingdom? Nowadays we think those who serve in the kingdom are the poor. No wonder Jesus said how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. He said it's like a camel passing through the eye of the needle. Because the guy comes to church, he's a CEO in a bank. He can't imagine himself serving. If you cannot be an usher, why not use that your wisdom to teach the people of God about financial intelligence? Nobody came here to sit. We all came to serve our King. We all came to serve our Master. Some think service is for young people. So they are now mature. The one you are serving is called Ancient of Days. Be an investor in the last day. Invest your time, your energy, and your resources. A time is coming. You will see people, technocrats, bankers. We have bank in church. Church in bank. Not because they will call it St. Jude Apostolic Revival Ministry. No. In that bank, they will create a caveat where discipleship happens. Where prayer happens. And when they come to church, they will deploy the wisdom they have built to develop God's work. A time is coming when senators will turn the Senate chamber to a ground for preaching. And every other time they meet at subcommittee levels, at personal levels, they will pass Christ. And when they come to church, they won't come to church as senators. They will come to church as disciples of Jesus. And as disciples, they can wash the toilet. It's not for the poor. It's not for children. It's not for those trusting God for breakthrough or for the fruit of the womb. It's for every disciple. It's called investment in the kingdom. Never wait until you are persuaded to invest your time. No! Any little window of time you have, ask, how can I use it? How can I serve? My Saturdays are free for 3 hours. Is there any team that can go for evangelism at that time? I'll be glad. Oh, this month, I'm not able to come. Is there anybody going for a crusade? I want to give. That's how disciples think. It's called kingdom investment. How do you invest in kingdom? Your time, your energy, and your resources. How do you invest in kingdom? By applying your gift to glorify God and to improve humanity. Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hid.
Let your light so shine among men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How was the church in the white wilderness built? Bezalel and Oholiab were architects and engineers. They deployed it. It's not only for those who sing here to lift praise and worship. No. If you don't deploy your gift, God will ask you. Because at the end of time, there is such a thing called well done, good and faithful servant. And there's such a thing called take that gift from that man, cast him into outer darkness. And when you deploy your gift, make sure you do it cheerfully and make sure you do it free of charge. 1 Peter 4:10. Matthew 10:8. Isaiah 45:13. As every man has received gift, even so minister the same one to another as stewards. The gift is not your own. You are a steward of the manifold grace of God. Matthew 10:8. I'm rounding up. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. Isaiah 45:13. I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. And is that let go of my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this does not mean men shouldn't appreciate and honor you. You should be honored. You should be appreciated. But never put a price tag on an eternal thing that was entrusted to you as a steward. It's not yours. You are only a steward of the manifold grace of God. And then there are places where church have staff that they pay salary because they hire them as staff. That's their job. But don't pick paper in church and say, pay me. You are a hireling. In the last day, we live as investors. I will stop here for tonight. But make sure that you are not just living, breathing oxygen. Those who live in the last days are watchers. Those who live in the last days are fruitful servants. Those who live in the last days are kingdom investors. Those who live in the last days are men with capacity to endure. This is the foundation of true Christianity in the last days. If I had more time, I would have added the last one. They are witnesses. That means they are sent. In the last day, we are not idle. We go out. They are witnesses. They prove God. They demonstrate God. We live demonstrating God in the last days. Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, grant me grace to live prepared. I know this is not the kind of service somebody wants. Somebody came hoping for miracles, hoping for impartation. We had miracle service last week Sunday. Today we want to raise warriors. Today we are trusting God to raise kingdom envoys. Man, he can trust with the kingdom. I come in the volume.
I come in the volume of the book. Was written to do your will. I come in the volume of the book. To do your will. Oh God, I will do your will.
I want to pray for you. And there are two prayers I will pray for you. Number one, the grace to live prepared. In the name of Jesus, I speak over you as a people under God. The grace to live prepared. May that grace mantle you now. Number two, it said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All the Gentiles seek shall be added to you. When we teach like this, we are not saying it is wrong to be healed. We are not saying it is wrong to be blessed. We are just saying those things are secondary and they are addendums. They are not the primary things. Now, in the name of Jesus, as you live prepared, everything you need for life and godliness, let it rest upon you now. Some of you will leave this service. Hear what will happen to you. Strange doors will just open. Because your heart is now ready to handle power. Your heart is ready to handle money. Your heart is ready to handle influence. And I prophesy over you, every door that you open for you to bring relevance to kingdom, I command it to open now. Some of you will walk out of this service, you'll discover you have been healed. A brand new liver, a brand new lung has just come in, because you need health to advance kingdom. Now you know why you are living. In the name of Jesus, any intervention you require, receive it now. I say, receive it now. In the name of Jesus Christ. What I've taught you today, I've given you access to relevance. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. May God give you grace, not just to understand it, but to live it. In Jesus' mighty name. I am your own till the day you will come. Jesus, I am your own. I am your own.
I am your own.
I am your own till the day. Put your hand on your chest and make a fresh commitment to Jesus. How many of you, from what I have taught, that's how you have been living? As a watcher, you have been living fruitful, you have been living enduring for the glory of God, and you have been living as an investor. How many of you? You see how few we are. Now, this is a church where we emphasize this. Now, imagine. The place is where you prophesy from January to December. A generation must rise. God needs men. And you will be God's man. Put your hand on your chest. Make that commitment. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. When the road, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, when the day will break eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. When the road.
when you receive the life of God, you also gave him your life. Two transactions happen. Salvation is you receiving God's life. But when you called him Lord, you submitted that life back. From today, as you make commitment to Jesus, the grace to live it, may it rest upon you. In Jesus' mighty name.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655 +233 2676 7655 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com